Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Fifth chapter of Romans in your Scofield Bible, page 1197. We'll read only one verse. That will be the first verse. Then we'll turn to two other passages. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, page 1197 in your Scofield Bible. And we'll stand, as we always do, for the reading of God's Word. Let's read together, please, this first verse. Ready? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn now to Romans chapter 8. Just a couple pages over, where we'll be reading also the first verse, and we'll read that together. Ready? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn now to the book of John, chapter 5, in your Scofield Bible, page 1121. John chapter 5, and we'll be reading the 24th verse. And we'll read that together. Ready? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful book you've given us. We thank you for its preservation. We thank you that we have the literal truth within our grasp here as we hold our Bibles. We thank you for our church, which has long stood for the truth and for the gospel and for salvation through grace by faith. Thank you for our preacher. We pray for thy abundant blessing upon him as he comes to us in a moment to preach thy word. We anticipate a message that will be helpful and practical as usual, but how we pray for thy spirit's fullness as we submit to thee just now. Help that our hearts will be changed. Help that we'll be strengthened in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to open your Bibles where we read a while ago. I want to look at it with you just for a second. I want you to open to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Then hold it there and turn to John chapter 5. We'll come back to Romans 8, 1, after I read again John 5, 24. I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. Only, usually, sometime in the spring program, the fall program. Folks, come on in. Ushers, do your job back there. Now, once I get up here, nobody's supposed to come in, ushers. Any ushers back there? Once I start to get up here, folks are not supposed to come in. Are the ushers back there? Where are the ushers? Okay. Come on in, folks. Find a seat. That's good. All right. Every time I do that, I think about when I was in Latrobe, Pennsylvania several years ago. Oh, it's been probably 15 years. Oh, more than that, Dr. Rice was still alive. 20 years ago, I guess. Dr. Rice was preaching first, and Latrobe, Pennsylvania is famous for two reasons. One is that's the hometown of Arnold Palmer, the famous golfer. Second reason it's famous, because I preached there once. But Dr. Rice preached first that night, and I got there a bit late. My plane was a bit late, and it was drizzling rain. It was about 40 degrees. It was a cold rain, and I didn't bring a coat or a hat. I didn't expect it to be that cold, and I got there just about the time. Dr. Rice was about as far along as I am right now. He was behind the pulpit. And there's only one door. The church only had one door. They had bought a one-room school building. And there's only one door. And I walked up to the door. There's no vestibule. You're either in or you're out. So I walked up, and I started walking in. The usher said, "Mister, you can't come in." And I said, why? And he said, because we have a rule here that once the preacher stands up, you can't come in. I said, man, look, it's cold out here and it's drizzling rain. I don't have a coat or a hat on. When I don't have a hat on, both of my hairs stick together. I look horrible. I only have two hairs. They're both 14 feet long. And I'm really a two-haired hippie is what I am. And but anyway, I said, he said, you can't come in. I said, man, it's cold out here. He said, I'm saying you can't come in. I said, why? He said, we have a rule here that you can't come in once the preacher's preaching. And I said, yeah, but he's not preaching yet. He said, yeah, but once he stands up. And I said, that's a dumb rule. And the usher said, I think it's dumb too. We haven't had it long. Our pastor got it in Hammond, Indiana, the pastor school he went to. I stood out in the rain for 40 minutes. Seemed like 3 hours. And Dr. Rice told me, said, if I'd known you was out there, I'd preach for 3 hours. And I said, I thought you did. So I aimed to enforce it. I've been punished by it, and I aimed to enforce it. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now in Romans 8:1, it says about the same thing. There is, notice the word is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to preach an evangelistic sermon this morning. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take justification out, look at it a while, and we'll rejoice in it. You folks that don't have it, watch us enjoy it. Maybe you'd like to have the same thing we have. Now, what is this thing, before I pray, what is this thing of justification? Justification means that a person can stand holy and blameless in the sight of the Heavenly Father. Justification means that no sin is recorded against a person in heaven. Now, it is not a pardon. Every once in a while, his song says, pardon from sin. Justification is not a pardon. A pardon means you committed a sin, but you got pardon from the consequences of that sin. Salvation is not a person being pardoned for the consequences of sin. Salvation is when your sin's not even listed at all. Justification is there's nothing recorded against your name. That means this morning, by the way, it means it's also more than forgiveness. Forgiveness means you've done something wrong, you got forgiven for it. But that's not what justification is. Folks, if you looked in heaven this morning, you'd find I'm not just forgiven. I mean, God didn't say, you committed this sin, and I'm going to forgive you for it. He didn't say, you committed this sin, you ought to go to hell, I'm going to pardon you for it. He didn't say that. God looked at my record, and when I trusted Jesus, and said, I'll declare there's no sin there. It is in the sight of Almighty God, I am holy and blameless. Now, listen to me carefully. Everybody, listen. Nobody talking, no high schoolers whispering, no college students looking at each other and getting that bilious lovesick look on your face. Look right this way, everybody in the house. I have good news for you. You can walk out of this room this morning, not just pardoned, not just forgiven, but you can walk out of this room this morning with your sins erased. Blot it out. Not just blot it out of God's book, but blot it out of God's memory. You can walk out of this room this morning. You say, what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. He's done all of it already. You simply say, I am going to rely upon what Jesus did for me as my hope for heaven. And the moment you do that, you're forgiven, but more than forgiven. Pardon, but more than pardon. It means that God will not be able to see or remember a single sin you've ever committed, ever do commit, or ever will commit. Now, you can walk out like that. And by the way, if you don't get that way, you're going to go to hell when you die. I mean, when God, you stand before God, every single sin has got to be removed from your record. If there's one sin listed, if you could live a life, and I'm not even preaching yet, but if you could live a life with a perfect life, and on the last 10 minutes of your life commit one sin, you would die and go to hell. Why? Because one sin will be recorded. Now, you've got to get your sins taken out of the book. You've got to get your sins taken out of God's memory. Ushers, help the folks coming in. Have a seat back there. Ushers, go back there. Give me an usher back there. That's what you're back there for. Let's have a seat now. Everybody find a seat. I'm preaching to you. Now, listen to me. You can walk out this morning. Look at me. You can walk out this morning with every sin, not only forgiven and pardoned, the punishment taken away, but the sin taken away. I didn't say you won't ever sin again. I said God won't know it. Why? He cannot see your sins through the blood of His Son. Father, bless the sermon. I want to be a help. I pray you to help me today as I try to explain exactly what it is to be justified in the sight of God. Amen. You've got to be justified in the sight of God. I mean, you've got to get your record pure, listen to me, and spotless in the sight of Almighty God. I want to talk to you on the subject of complete justification. Three things I want to say. Complete justification, number one, is a present justification. I'm justified now. I'm not going to be justified someday when I stand before God. I'm justified now. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. Hey, folks back in the back, sit down. Ushers, you're going to talk, go outside. There's too much walking around out here. Listen to me now. This is life or death. If you're going to walk in and out, go out and stay out. I'm preaching the gospel here. Folks need to hear it. Now listen to me carefully. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. To present tense. There is, present tense, now, right now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come to me condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen to me. Justification is a present justification. All of those who stand on streets of gold today are justified. But they are no more justified than those who trusted Jesus who drive on streets of concrete and asphalt. The Apostle John is no more justified than I am. And by the way, hallelujah, he's no more sure of heaven than I am. There is, therefore, now a present. Those who live in heavenly mansions today are justified. But those who live on earth in apartments, condominiums, and wooden brick houses, if they're saved, are also justified. And just as justified as those who live in mansions. And those who are saved who drive on streets of asphalt and concrete are just as saved as those who walk down golden streets and through gates of pearl and live in heaven's mansion. I'm saying I am as sure of being blameless in the sight of God Almighty as is Stephen and Paul and John and Elijah. There is, therefore, now no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus. The thief on the cross, are you listening? The thief on the cross was just as justified on the cross as was Moses, who had been in heaven 1,500 years. Before he had done one thing in service to God, he was as justified as was the Apostle Paul, who gave a lifetime of service to God. The thief on the cross looked and said, "Remember me, listen to me, when thou comest into thy kingdom." His record was as clean and has been ever since, as was Elijah's, who prayed down fire from heaven. As was Elisha's, who performed twice as many miracles as Elijah, as was Jonah, who preached the greatest revival ever preached. I'm trying to say this morning, if you are here and you have trusted Christ, you are now justified. You won't someday stand before God and be justified. You won't go to heaven and find out you're justified. You won't stand at the judgment seat and get justified. You are justified now. And that means anybody in this room this morning who will walk down this aisle or right where you are, look up to God and say, I'm a sinner and I'm lost on my way to hell. But Jesus paid the penalty. The virgin-born, sinless, vicarious, dying Son of God who was raised after 72 hours, I will from this moment not trust El Papa across the street, not trust the stupid confessional booth. I'll not trust my confirmation when I was 12 years old. I'll not trust the Holy Sacrament. I'll not trust the baptism pool. I'll trust Jesus. That moment you are as justified as John the Baptist is justified. Now my sins are put away. Now I stand not guilty in the sight of Almighty God. Now I stand as though I had never sinned at all. Now my name is written in heaven. Now I am a child of Almighty God. Now I have everlasting life. Now, oh, get this statement, I am as sure of heaven as Jesus Christ himself. Listen. I have as much chance of losing my salvation as Jesus does of getting kicked out of heaven. Now, right now. Oh, you say, preacher, I hope that someday I'll stand before God justified. If you don't stand before God justified now, you won't stand before God justified then. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. There is not one sin listed against me, not one spot or speck, or wrinkle, or smear. This is not the corn which we shall eat in the promised land, but the manna which we eat today. I am clothed now in the same garment the Apostle John wears. I am clothed now in the same garment that clothes me at the marriage of the Lamb. I am clothed now in the same robe of righteousness that I shall wear in heaven forever. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Well, praise God. Stand up and shout. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it is a present justification. Now. Second. Not only is it a present justification, but it is a perpetual justification. That means there's nothing I can do to you now and then not to be justified. God did not say, I'll justify you now, and if you'll hang in there, I'll keep you justified. No, sir. It is a perpetual. It says, shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into condemnation. That means there is nothing I can do once I put my faith in Christ. There's nothing I can do to unjustify myself. Justification, Romans 6:23, is a gift of God. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God justified me, that was his gift to me. And God never takes back his gift. A gift cannot be earned. A gift cannot be purchased. A gift cannot be bought. A gift cannot be won. A gift can only be taken. And God gave me justification. Did you hear me? And it is a perpetual. His robe of righteousness will never wax old. No sun shall fade this robe of righteousness. No rust will weaken it. No moth will chew it. No thief will steal it. No strength will sever it. I am justified and I always will be justified. Perpetual. Boy, you're lucky today. You visitors are lucky today. You that chose to come to First Baptist Church of Hammond instead of across the street at No Saints, you're lucky today. You're lucky. You're lucky you chose to come to First Baptist Church instead of these liberal churches on Liberal Row on Holman Avenue down here. You're lucky you came to a church today that says you don't get saved by getting in that pond up there. You're lucky you came to a church today that says a priest can't forgive your sins. You're lucky today to come to a church that says a pope can't absolve your sins. You're lucky. You've come today to a church that preaches to you the wonderful, marvelous truth that you can now be justified. And once you are justified, you always will be justified. A perpetual justification. Romans 8:33. I love this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God today? Who shall lay anything to the charge of... Some of you folks quit looking like you just lost your best friend. Boy, some of you folks have salvation. I wish your heart would tell you a face about it. I'm going to get some chairs here in this auditorium where you can face backward. The back of your head's more inspiring than the front of your puss is. Now you listen to me. This crowd of people get on television with their wives looking like a bunch of painted up whores. They look like Elvis Presley reincarnate. And they tell you got to hang on and hold out, faithful to be saved. Let me tell you, my precious friend, we're justified by grace, by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're justified now, today, and from now on, we'll always be justified. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not sin. Psalm 32:2. The man to whom God imputeth righteousness. Romans 4:6. I can never be in fetters again. The chains are forever loosed. I am forever set free from the cell of condemnation. My name is indelibly written down in heaven. I have all the access to God that I would have if I'd never sinned at all. I have all the blessings from God that I would have if I'd never sinned at all. I will always be as holy in heaven as is the blessed Savior. I'm dressed in His righteousness. No, it doesn't say I will be someday be dressed in His righteousness. I am dressed now in His righteousness. God looks at my record and sees the record of Jesus covering up my record. You say, what did you do to get it? I trusted Jesus, that's all. I am pardoned, but more than that. I am forgiven, but more than that. I am declared innocent, but more than that. I am justified with a present justification and a perpetual justification. Number three. A perfect justification. The Bible doesn't say he that believeth is half condemned or not half condemned. It doesn't say he that believeth is not half clean but half clean. It says he that believeth his sins are washed whiter than snow. Psalm 51:7. My sins aren't half erased but blotted out. Psalm 51:7, 51:9. My sins are not put out of sight, but cast in the deepest sea. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. My sins are not just gone, but they're removed as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, verse 12. Not gone for a while till I sin again, but gone forever, once for all. Hebrews 10:10, Hebrews 10:12. Praise God, the last ticket's in the fence. The last threads in the robe of garment, the robe of righteousness. The last payment has been made on my sin debt. The last nail has been driven into Satan's coffin. The last Passover has been offered because Christ, my Passover, 1 Corinthians 5:7, once and for all ended all Passovers. When he walked inside the Holy of Holies with his own precious blood and sprinkled his own precious blood on the Holy of Holies mercy seat, brother, he walked out and cried, "It is finished." He didn't mean it's finished for another year. He meant it's finished forever. He didn't mean it's finished for another day. He meant it's finished forever. My last Passover has been given. The once and for all Passover. The last lamb has bleated on the altar. The last oxen has lowed on the altar. The wings of the last turtle dove have fluttered on the altar. All my sins were nailed to the cross. He's taken all my sins away. All of my sins have been blotted out. No need for a daily sacrifice. No need for an annual day of atonement. sin has sustained the death blow. No more burnt offerings are needed. No more blood must be shed. Why? Because Jesus paid my sin debt. And when I trusted him, he justified me now. He justified me perpetually. And he justified me perfectly. Oh, Christian, shout. Some of you folks can shout over the Chicago Bears and can't shout because you're justified. I'm worried about you. You folks get happy over the Chicago Bulls and you can't over the fact that your record is perfect in heaven. I'm worried about you. I'm trying to say, oh, believer, shout. Let the chained leap. Let the timid shout. Let the dumb praise. Let the dignified, reserved Christian look carefully, realize, and have a spell. Let the introvert lay aside his shyness and glorify God. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And he owes me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. Oh, Uncle Bud Robinson, the old country preacher. Sit down out there. The old country preacher. Uncle Bud, he was tongue-tied. He made a record one time. His testimony on the record. Uncle Bud Robinson shout. And he had a lift like this. And two of my favorite characters, Uncle Bud Robinson and Billy Bray. Billy Bray shouted everywhere he went. They said, shut your mouth. He said, if I did, when my left foot hits the ground, my left foot says, Lord of God, my right foot says, praise the Lord. They got together and decided to scare Billy Bray once. They hid behind the tracks. He was walking down shouting and praising God, just like you don't. And they hid behind the tracks, and one of his enemies in the dark of the night was going to scare him. Billy Bray was saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, woo, glory to God. And one of his enemies said, Billy, this is the devil. What you going to say about that? He said, praise God, devil, I did not know that thou wert so far from me. Well, Uncle Bud Robinson was on his record. He had the lift. He said, I was in the hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. I was in the hospital. He said, here I go getting tongue-tied. He said, all of a sudden, the Holy Father walked in. The Holy Father. He said, Holy Father came in and he said to the nurse, said, did anybody here need to see me? And the nurse said, that man over there, he about to die, I think. That man over there. Said the Holy Father came over to me and he said, Mr. Robinson, is that your name? I said, yes, that's my name. He said, you got anything you won't confess to me before you die? And I said, yeah, I got something I won't confess before I die. And the Holy Father came in and he said, well, go ahead and confess before you die what you want to confess to me. And I said to the Holy Father, I said, lean your ear up close to my mouth. I won't confess it to you very secretly. He said, the Holy Father leaned his ear close to my mouth. And I said, Holy Father, I want to confess this with your ear closer to my mouth. I want your ear right next to my mouth. And Holy Father put his ear right down next to my mouth. And I said, well, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm sanctified, justified, saved, on my way to glory. The last time I saw the Holy Father, he'd run down the hall of the hospital. Oh, thanks be to God today. The vilest sinner in this house can walk out of those doors with not one sin recorded against your record in heaven. And by the way, the most righteous person in this house must trust the Savior just like the vilest sinner, or you will not stand in the sight of God blameless. And if you don't stand blameless, you won't go to heaven. You'll burn in hell. It's not how much more good did you do than bad. It's not how many better things or good things are written down on your record than bad things. It means there cannot be one single bad thing on your record. Oh, how can I live above sin? You don't have to live above sin as long as you keep it a secret from God. You say, how can I keep it a secret from God? Get under the blood. How do you get under the blood? Trust Jesus. Yeah. I like that song, What Sin You Talking About? God said, What sin you talking about? Are you listening carefully? You had better shake yourself. And you better realize that that denominational church you belong to, that's holding you bondage to it because Grandpa went there and Grandma went there. He said, Brother House, I can't change the churches. I know my church is liberal, but my grandmother and my grandfather buried in the backyard. Okay, go dig them up. Put them out in our cemetery. You better look at this thing. Listen, all over this area, there are German people all over this area that are good, decent people that are bound to liberal Lutheran churches and going to hell because they'd rather be bound to liberal Lutheran churches than have their name written in heaven and be justified in the sight of Almighty God. Brother, you better forget what church you belong to, what church your grandmother went to, what church Uncle George went to, what church Aunt Susie went to, and you better realize that this church can't save you and the church across the street can't absolve your sin and the churches down on the Liberal Row and on Holman Avenue can't resolve your sin. It is a personal matter between you and Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, you're a truck driver. Meanest truck driver on the road. And once you're the meanest truck driver, you're the meanest man. Because truck drivers are the meanest folks in the world, besides sailors. Besides bass singers in the choir. But listen to me, truck drivers. You can get in the cab of that truck this afternoon or tonight and hit the road. No matter what you've done in your life, you can have every single sin not only forgiven, but pardon, not only pardon, but taken off of your record. And in the sight of Almighty God, you've never committed a sin. And brother, if God erases sins for some of you guys, it's going to take the world's biggest eraser. You sailors back there, I don't care if you cuss like a sailor. You can go back to those barracks today without not one single sin recorded against your record. Not one. You can go back to those barracks today with a present justification, a perpetual justification, and a perfect justification. The vilest sinner here can have your record made plain. And the most righteous person here must have your record made plain. Praise God. Praise God. There is now no condemnation. Hey, up there, Paul, John, Barnabas, Elijah, Moses, you ain't no more saved than I am. And I'm just as sure to live in eternity in heaven as you are. Mama, hope you're having a lot of fun up there. But don't get too cocky. I'm as saved as you are, Mama. Brother John Rice, you wearing that robe up there, but I got it on down here, same one you got on up there. I'm just as sure for heaven as you are. Brother Olaf, with your heavenly carrot juicer. Remember that conversation we had one time, Brother Lester? You said, Brother Jack, if you don't quit eating cheese quarter pounders, you're going to die young. I said, Lester, if you don't start flying right, you're going to die young. And you're up there, and I'm still down here, Lester. I'm just as saved as you are. I'm just as justified as you are. This morning, wouldn't you love to leave this building with a spotless record before God? You say, preacher, all of my sins? You don't know what I've done. I know. Don't have to know what you've done. But wouldn't you like to hide it from God? You hide it from God when you trust the Savior. And the devil looks over to God and says, Father, he says, God, you see old Bob O'Clair sin? I do. But the Heavenly Father says, what sin are you talking about? Devil said, did you see Jeff Owens beat his wife? in checkers? And then she beat him a game and he got mad? Threw a fit? You see that? God said, what? He said, you see, Jeff Owens sin. God said, what sin are you talking about? God said, think I'll look in my book under O here. O-W-E-N-S. Huh. Bunch of stuff written down here, but it's no bad here. It's all good. I declare, his record looks exactly like my son Jesus. And that's your hope for heaven. I don't care who you are this morning, you can walk out those doors with a justification that is present, a justification that is perpetual, and a justification that is perfect. Otherwise, I think I'll turn over a new leaf and try to earn heaven. You couldn't earn heaven. It's not for sale. It's for free. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Now look at me. Why don't you set it? Say, what church is it? None. What ordinance is it? None. What sacrament? None. None. It's when you come to Christ and trust the Savior. The moment you do, you're presently in the sight of Almighty God, blameless. You will now be blameless. And between now and death, you will always still be blameless. And you'll be perfectly blameless. I get tired of these preachers saying, when you stand before God at the judgment seat, there's going to be a movie projector. And God's going to show your life on that screen. Oh, shut up. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. Boy, if he does show a life on a screen, I want to see Moffitt. It'll be R-rated, I promise you that. Rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. Neath the crimson flow. Rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now, my soul is free. And in my heart is a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Hey, that's good enough for me. You can live eternally. Your sins can be gone. No one leaving, no one moving, no one going to the doors. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer?